Well, we are into a series that we've called The Promise of the Father, and it's very much a term that relates to the Holy Spirit. We finished last week establishing in the Gospel of John the teaching of Jesus to the disciples about the person and work of the Holy Spirit that was about to come. It was about to happen. It was to be a time and a season that would be better in experience for the disciples as if Jesus had stayed. Now, you know, you can imagine the disciples at hearing that from Jesus. Oh, it's important that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit won't come. You can imagine the disciples, what they're thinking, you know. How could anything be more profitable to this ministry, or there be a better way of God's will in heaven being done on earth than having Jesus, the Son of God, right here with us? What could be better than that? You could think the disciples go, you know, when Jesus is saying it's going to be more profitable for you that I go away, and Jesus is saying, no, actually, it is. You know, the disciples scratching their heads thinking, you know, there's miracles going on, we've got big crowds, you know, we're just about to release a monthly newsletter, podcast of the month, going to get that out, and Jesus is saying, I've got to go away. And they don't quite get it. You know, they don't quite understand it. We see in the Gospel of John, chapter 14 through to 17, is what is known as the Gethsemane dialogue or discourse. And it's that short journey from the place where they observed the Last Supper. And Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And of course, we've done that this morning. That short journey from that place where they had that Last Supper, the upper room as it's called, and then they walked together, the disciples, to what was called the Garden of Gethsemane, a little olive grove. And they actually took this walk. It was in Gethsemane where they prayed together, and of course where they also saw Judas come with a bunch of soldiers and the religious leaders of the day who'd come to take Jesus to his trial and of course his crucifixion. And that distance is about 2 km. That's how far it is if you look on the map, look where it is. And so here they are walking and talking with Jesus, and he knows he's about to be taken from them. And he's talking about, as you and I would, the most important thing about the ministry that's to come. Okay, it's not next week you've got to remember to put the newsletter out. Next week, make sure you record that podcast. It's not any of those things. He's talking about something more important. Look what he says in John chapter 16 and verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. So Jesus is saying, this is critical. This is crucial that I go away. It's to your advantage. And Jesus knew that following his sacrifice upon the cross, that he was about to, and that he would make the way open for man to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what he would make the way open for. He would open that door for all of us to go through, to be able to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And that his work in the earth was about to finish, but the work of the Holy Spirit was about to start. Amen. I like sequence. Someone says, you like order. No, actually, I just like sequence. I like to know how the sequence goes and how that all works. Help me put it together, because I want to understand how this works. Everybody, anyone else like me this morning? My brother is worse, actually. Trained and went to university and became a medical doctor, and he's worse. He bought a brand new motorbike once. After I found out that he bought this brand new motorbike, I said, so how's it going? He said, oh, good, it's in quite a few parts at the moment. I says, why is that? He says, I wanted to know how it worked. And I thought, oh, I know where you get that from. We must have got it from our father or mother or something, because it lives in me as well. I want to know how it works. And when I go into the scriptures, I want to know how this works. And I want to be able to sort of, so if something's not working, I can pinpoint the problem and say, this is how it works. So, as we say, the Holy Spirit is about to start and begin his ministry in the earth. And the word of the Lord dropped into my heart, even this morning. And it was a good word. Psalm 46 verse 1, it says, God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. Ever-present help. You know, it's not once in a while. It's ever-present help in time of trouble. So it doesn't matter what you're facing. I believe the the ministry this morning was right on theme as far as just breakthrough, and no matter what adversity you're facing, God's right there, he's with you, and you can rely on him, because that was the word that the Lord dropped into my heart this morning. An ever-present help in times of trouble. He does that by his indwelling presence, by the work of the Holy Spirit. And it's something that we need to understand, that the Holy Spirit is heaven sent. That was the answer of Jesus going to sit at the right-hand side of the Father, was he would send the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit would be in our presence. And we can connect with him individually and also corporately and know his moving, his sensations that come with the Holy Spirit. And I want in this series for us to look at some of that. So I don't believe it's too advanced that we shouldn't go into it. But just looking at a few scriptures from last week and just reminding ourselves, John chapter 14, verse 15 to 17 says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he'll give you another advocate." Now that's that same word, advocate, and we saw in the last verse is actually the word helper. It's that Greek word, parakletos. One called to our side is what it means. One called to our side to help, you know. And one translation says, to take up together with you against whatever it is that you're facing. The Holy Spirit, the advocate. And I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another advocate to be with you, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot receive him because it neither sees him or knows him. But you do know him, for he abides with you. Jesus was operating with the anointing of the Holy Spirit on his life. And he says, for he abides with you, and get this, and he will be in you. That's the thing we need to see there. He will be in you. Remember, as we learn to listen to the Holy Spirit, we'll always be in accord with the truth of God's word. When we listen to the Holy Spirit, because he speaks from within. You know, a lot of people think that when you talk about hearing from God, they're thinking that it's going to be like this voice from heaven. And you get into some of the truths about hearing from God. The audible voice is a thing. You can find it in the scriptures. It's like an audible voice. But mostly, the Spirit of God will speak from within. You'll hear his voice. Sometimes it's a prompt. Like sometimes Rosemary just gives me a prompt. And I know exactly what she's saying. Good or bad, you know. I'll know exactly what she's saying because I've learned, you know, in our relationship with one another, we've learned to be sensitive. It's the same with the Holy Spirit. As I say, we're getting to some of the bad stuff here now, but there's such a thing as called the inner witness. Okay, the inner witness. And the inner witness is like a prompt, a push, something that the Holy Spirit can do within us. Now remember this, and it's very important, as we learn to listen to the Holy Spirit, we'll always be in accord with the truth of God's word. So we learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. You won't find yourself in contradiction to the word of God if you are listening to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will only ever lead you in accordance with God's will and God's word, because he is the Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit of truth. That's his first designated name. He's never going to tell you to go and do something that's out of God's will. Okay? So, you know, if you want to do that, you're going to be stepping into disobedience. You're going to be stepping out of God's will. And, you know, you should recognize that. But whatever you do, don't ever try and say something contrary to the Word of God and say, God told me. Because the Word of God will show you that you're wrong in saying that God told you. And now listen in. This is important truth here. This is how we know if what we are hearing is right or wrong, error or truth. It will line up with the Word of God if it is truth and if it is right. That simple. The moment we move away from that balance, we're in danger of error, and of course we're in danger of missing God's will. That doesn't mean he doesn't forgive us. It doesn't mean that he doesn't, you know, we can still overcome our mistakes, etc., because the blood of Jesus continues to avail for us and we can receive forgiveness. But, you know, sometimes our conversation is such that we think, oh, well, that's okay. That's what we felt, the Spirit of God. And it's like, no, go to the Word and find out if the Word agrees with that, because the Spirit and the Word will always agree. Amen? Always agree. John chapter 15, good word too. It says, when the advocate, same word, helper, the parakletos, when the parakletos comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. We looked at this as well last week. And you also must testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. I like that. It talks about how he will testify and also you will testify. So in other words, we're going to be out testifying about Jesus. You know, maybe you bump into someone in the street and we feel that, you know, it's time to tell them about Jesus, or we're out there and we think, well, that's a conversation I should have with that person. So we testify. We might tell them our testimony, tell them how God's, you know, set us free and how we're living a new life in Christ and it's the best life we've ever lived and, you know, whatever it is. But that's you testifying. The Holy Spirit is testifying by Him getting on that person's case. So, you know, you go home to your car and drive home and pray for that person or whatever because you just shared with them. The Holy Spirit's testifying as well. Now, he's doing a whole manner of things that you couldn't possibly ever bring about. You know, he's starting to minister to them and reach them. That's Him testifying. And you also must testify. He will testify about me. So, you know, He's bringing things to their thoughts, bringing things into their thinking, bringing things in, you know, a set of circumstances, maybe even a sensation. Who knows? But He's testifying. I heard the gospel, acted on the gospel, and I know that the Holy Spirit testified to me about the truth of the gospel that I'd heard and acted on. I know that. You know, and it was when I was by myself, it was the Holy Spirit testifying to me. Amen. Aren't you glad that it just doesn't have to be you and your ability to talk about the gospel and maybe even persuade someone? It doesn't have to be about that. The Holy Spirit's at work. And He'll testify. Amen. John 14 and verse 25, it says here, through to verse 26, these things I've spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things I have said to you. Amen. Good. Now, understand, these scriptures, these verses are all in this 2K talk as they're walking toward the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus is cramming for an exam for the disciples. You know, they're about to face Him being taken by the soldiers. And He's telling them about the most important thing, which is, okay, guys, look, next month the rent needs to be paid, okay, on the upper room. Okay, so make sure you pay the rent. Now, He's telling them none of those practical things at all. He's telling them about the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's going to be the most important person that they're going to be actually in relationship from the day of Pentecost. And that's something we need to see. We need to be a people that understand that Jesus saw the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives as being very, very critical. How the Holy Spirit will guide and lead us is often through the Word of God. You know, a scripture He brings to our remembrance. And of course, look what it says in John chapter 10, verse 27. It says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." My sheep hear my voice. You know, some would think, well, hang on, I can't remember whether that's actually happened to me yet. Well, keep pressing in. The Bible says really clearly, it says in James, it says, draw near to God, and He'll draw near to you, you know, me, you know. So it's that drawing near. It's that prayerful contemplation that, okay, Lord, I want to have a relationship with You, and I want to know Your relationship in my life. And it's about pressing in. This natural life has a distraction about it. How many of you know what I'm talking about? This natural life that we lead is certainly distracting. We need to make sure that we're not distracted, but that we do press in for Him. You have those moments in our life, that moment of consecration, whether it be at the start of your day, whether it be in the middle of your day. But the Bible says, morning and evening and noon will I cry and pray aloud. I think it's that way, evening, morning and noon. We used to sing a song anyway, it was like that, you know. And of course, it's a psalm, it's a scripture, you know. Evening, morning and noon will I pray and cry aloud. In other words, I'll talk to the Lord. Amen. Just that indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit comes with that capacity to direct you to His Word, a scripture in season, a scripture in time. Classic example, one time when Rosemary was away and I was left in charge of looking after the garden and keeping all the plants watered. That was, she said, make sure you water the plants while I'm away. And I said, yes, darling. So I'm looking to the Lord for different scriptures, different things, and of course, and the Lord drops this scripture into my heart, and it's Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25. And I heard the word Proverbs 11, 25, and what I was seeking the Lord for was a offering scripture at that time. it was an offering scripture. And I went, Proverbs 11:25. I says, that's not a I'm sort of having an argument with the Lord. I says, that's not a offering scripture. And I'm looking and looking and looking. And of course, eventually I'm being pressed by the Lord through the morning that that's the offering scripture. And so anyway, I look up and then sure enough, it's an offering scripture. And I'd got it mixed up with Mark 11:25, which is about, you know, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, forgive. Mark 11:25. And so anyway, I go out and it's my time and my moment to water the plants. And the scripture actually is, and him that waters will be watered himself. And I grab the hose and she's got one of those hanging things. I don't know how she got it up there, but she managed to get this hanging strawberry plant up there, and I'm trying to work out how to water it, and I'm trying to put water in the top of it, and it trickles down and starts watering me. And I'm thinking, that is so true to that scripture. He that waters will himself be watered. And I'm getting wet, and I'm in my Sunday clothes, and I'm sort of getting all wet there, and I think, wow. So, you know, on the discussion that we're now getting into as we get closer to the garden. And as we say, 2 kilometres is very close to being finished. And we're up to John 16 already. And it says this, I still have much to tell you, but you cannot bear it or hear it. Verse 13, however, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears. And he will declare to you what is to come. Great scripture. Talking about he'll lead you into all truth. He'll show you things to come. He'll speak what he hears. I like that. Because what he's hearing, what the Holy Spirit's speaking, is what he's getting from heaven. He's like the relay. So he just receives and then he speaks it into our hearts. And that's how we can start to get sensitive to the voice of the Lord and to the Spirit of God. Because he'll hear from heaven and speak it. Look what it says, he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He's serving us by being on the inside of us. God communicates with us through his Holy Spirit in our spirit. People are looking to hear here when it's actually here where we'll hear. Amen? And of course, what an advantage in life for the God of creation, the God of all creation that created the heavens and the earth to be speaking into your life. Amen. And you know, I found out, you know, from that scripture particularly, don't argue with him. He knows the scripture better than you do, you know. He knows where all the verses are. And when he speaks, we ought to listen and go looking for it. And just know this, he's not a genie in a bottle. Anyone know the term the genie in the bottle? You know, you rub the bottle from, you know, the you know, as you see in the movies, and of course the genie pops out and says, what do you want to do? He's not a genie in the bottle. You can't rub his belly and get the Powerball numbers. Okay, so anyone's thinking, oh, this is great, I'm going to press in and get the Powerball numbers and all my financial problems will be over. No, that's not how it works. Okay, not at all. So just get that part right, make that little adjustment. But when we are committed to his will and purposes, when we are focused on his kingdom and not on our own will and what's convenient to us, that's the place where we can be sure to be led by the Holy Spirit in life and all the matters of life. That's when we know. When we're committed to his, you know, his plan and to the kingdom of God being outworked here on earth. That's so very important. Look what it says in Jeremiah 33. It says, call to me and I will answer you and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. And this is the truth that we really need to settle, is that God does want us to know things about the future, because he is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He knows the end from the beginning. So whatever's going to happen in the future, he already knows about it. And that's true concerning you and your circumstances, your situation, what, you know. And what we've found, though, is that you can begin to align yourself to his purpose and his plan for your life by continuing to consecrate yourself to him and say, Lord, I want to do your will. I want your will and your purpose being outworked in my life. I want to see your plan and purpose being done in my life. And, you know, what I found as I started to pray that way as a young Christian, that Four, that's one of those prayers that gets answered very quickly. God starts to align your life. He starts to order your steps. The Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So, you know, he wants to get you aligned to his purposes, to his will for our lives. And that's something that's worth chasing after. What an advantage to know God's will into the future and to listen in for his timing, to get more detail once he shows you one thing and then be looking for the next bit of detail. What an advantage. You can tell people who are unbelievers about it and they don't believe you that that's possible. Let me tell you, it's very possible. I'll give you a little testimony. I'm nearly finished this morning. So there we were in 1995. We'd been going in our little church there in country Queensland that the Lord had called us from Perth to go to country Queensland and start a church. We'd been going for about, 1995, we would have been going, I guess, about 3 years. And there we were. We were hiring a little room in the Civic Centre. We'd not outgrown the first room that we hired. That was $45 a week. We wanted something a bit smaller to suit the size of our church. You know, it was a little bit smaller than that. And so we got this thing, what was called, they said, they have got the library room. You can have that for $15 a week. And we said, we'll take it. And of course, it was a pretty small room. I guess it'd probably be about, you know, even maybe a quarter of the size of this room. But it was enough to get some people in, and we could put a pulpit up and we could have some worship and we could invite people publicly to our service. And we were at the time praying that the Lord would open for us a way to have a permanent location. It wasn't so much about the size of the location, it was about the permanency. Somewhere we could have a sign out in the street and all those kind of things through the week. And so this week I get an invite to attend the official opening of what was the Seventh-day Adventist Church in that town. And they were having an opening for a bookshop that they had gone into the main street of town and leased, the full lease, of the Old Town Theatre. And the Old Town Theatre was huge. You could fit 300 people, and they still had the seats in there and the screen. And I guess probably in the 40s somewhere it stopped being a place where they did plays and became the movie theatre in town. So it was like just a doorway in the main street, and it went up a set of stairs, and they had like the ticket office and a little bit more of a room and the projector office area, and then you went up into the theatre. And that was called the Arcadia Theatre. And anyway, the Seventh-day Adventists had rented it, or leased it, and what they wanted to do is they wanted to have a bookshop in the main street of town, a Christian bookshop, and they had invited all of the ministers from all the churches in town to come along and actually see what they had done. They had put walls in and built like a little proper bookshop, and they wanted the other ministers to know so that they could tell their churches, so that their churches and people in their churches could come and buy books, so it would actually make it a viable thing. They were saying, not just Seventh-day Adventist books, there's all kinds of Christian books here, you can just come along. And we said, So they're having this little morning tea to show us. And I'm walking up the main stairs by myself, there's no one else in the stairwell. Walking up, I get about halfway up, and literally you could smell the paint. You could smell the woodwork, you know, from where they'd done work. And they'd actually taken about, I don't know, probably 10, 15 rows of seats out and put a mezzanine floor that was probably as big as half of this church at the top and put a kitchen in. They had spent some money. You could smell it. It was there. You could tell that there'd some renovations been going on. You could smell the carpet. I get halfway up the stairs and I heard the Spirit of the Lord say to me so very clearly, four words, this is for you. Just those four words, this is for you. And it's funny how the Lord can say something to you and you can know exactly what he's saying because you've been praying about it. And so I stop on the stairs. This is for you. It's like having that revelation moment on the stairwell. The Lord just saying those four words to me. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know whether to go back down the stairs and go run around the block going, yay! You know, I hadn't even seen it yet. But I just knew that the Lord was talking to us as a church about that building. So anyway, cut a long story short. I go up, we had the cup of tea, and I'm looking around, and I'm like, I don't know, it's very hard to describe sitting there with that word on your heart and looking at everything that they're doing and them saying what they're going to do with it. And I'm going, well, what do you say? So I said nothing. I just said, oh, we're very, very excited, very happy for you. So time goes past, and time does go past, and there we are still ministering. We're still having our Sunday services, and they've still got their bookshop there, and I think they put on some baking lessons at one stage, use the upstairs kitchen area. They put some baking lessons on, and some, you know, they like to do their bread making seminars and workshops and stuff. And of course, what happens is really quite unusual. One day, I think you were working in town, and I was walking past the front of the, Rose was working in town there in one of the shops, and I was walking past, and the Seventh Day Adventist pastor comes down the stairs and out the thing, and he grabs me in the street, and he goes, Peter, I wanted to talk to you. And there I was walking past, and I said, and I know what about. And he stops and sort of looks at me, you know. Oh, you know what I want to talk to you about? And I said, yeah. And I kind of stood there, you know, and I said, I better get this right or I'm going to look really silly, you know. And I said to him, you want us, our church, to sublet your building on Sundays? And he goes, that's exactly what I was going to ask you. So the detail, obviously, was that what he wanted to do was they wanted to keep the bookstore going, but they wanted us to be able to come up and, you know, they needed to cover their rent. And obviously they weren't. The bookshop wasn't doing too well in sales, et cetera, et cetera. You find all the reasons why it wasn't working. But they wanted to sublet it to us. And that's a pretty unusual thing because they have church on Saturday and we're a Sunday worshipping church, but we're still getting this invite to go in, and so I said, let's talk the detail, let's talk about how that can work. And so we got this nominal rent to just use their mezzanine floor on a Sunday, because there was chairs there, everything was there, there was a kitchen there, everything we needed to have church was supplied. And you know, we were just amazed at how God would provide such a wonderful location. And let me tell you, within six months, they came to us again and said, look, it's not working for us to have this bookshop here. We're wondering if you'd be interested in taking on the whole lease. And we said, absolutely take on the whole lease, you know, absolutely. So we were ready to go, and we did some more renovations down into the theatre. And it was actually the theatre that became the church going into the future. And we put curtains up, and it was a great location. We had some great concerts in there as well. Steve Grace, you probably heard of Steve Grace. We've had Steve Grace here. Steve Grace came and he did some concerts there as well. But isn't God good? The way that he can show you things to come, lead and guide you into all truth and show you things to come so that you know, because of his Spirit, what's about to happen. I don't know about anyone else, but I say I like living that way. You know, when something's about to happen, you know about it before it happens. And that's something that we can have in our relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I encourage you, look what it says in Isaiah verse 30. And again, just your ear shall hear a word behind you saying, this is Isaiah 30 verse 21, your ear shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. There it is. This is the way. We have a promise from the Word. This is the way. Walk in it. The guidance and direction upon our path. And I love it especially because we're a church that believes that, you know, the high place, the place of maturity that we should all seek to reach is that place of being sons and daughters. Sons and daughters that have the Father's heart and see what the Father's seeing. That's a place that we can all realize. We don't have to be, you know, the pastor or the person at the front in the pulpit. You don't have to be. You can walk in a relationship with God and reach that place. And there's a sequence of growth that gets us to that place of understanding, being sons and daughters. And we say this, and of course this is what the scriptures say too, Romans verse 8 and verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And we never say sons of God without including the daughters, sons and daughters of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons and daughters of God. And you know, the scriptures say, you know, look what it says there in from Joel. It says, your sons and daughters will prophesy. How can we prophesy unless we hear? How can we get that word in our heart unless we hear and get sensitive to that voice from the Lord and from the Spirit of God? Very important. And I want to finish, and it will get us going into what's happening next week. 1 John chapter 2, because we want to talk about some of the advanced aspects of hearing from God. 1 John chapter 2, verse 26 to 27, it says, these things I've written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides where? In you. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Great scripture. And we'll start probably from that point next week and get into a little bit more truth about that inner witness, that inner voice. How do we grow in that? How do we develop a greater sensitivity in that? And I believe God wants us to. Amen? Amen. That we would be out our own, you know, in our own lives, in our own place, being led by the Spirit of God in life's activities and the circumstances that face us, and know what God is saying and be very clear in speaking that same word out. Amen. Why don't we all stand to our feet and... well, Rosemary is very happy this morning anyway. Why don't we all stand to our feet? We'll ask the worship team to come. You know, I want us to pray as we close this morning that our hearts would be sensitive to the Spirit of God. And, you know, as I say, that's not just a word. Sometimes that's a prompt. That's a leading, as we say, and God's guidance in our life. And I just want to pray that over the congregation today, that we would be a people that are hungry for that, and that we would receive that. Father, we again thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a guide unto our path, Lord God. It shows us where we are and shows us where we can go, Lord. And Lord, we pray, Lord God, that a hope has been set in people's hearts, Father, today. Those that may be not familiar with hearing from you, Lord God, or knowing your voice or being led by your Spirit, Lord, that they would see that it's something that they can walk toward or grow and develop in, Father. I pray that your anointing would come, Lord God, and minister to hearts and lives again today, Lord, as you already have earlier on, Father. We thank you for it. But Holy Spirit, we again welcome you today to minister and touch lives and hearts as only you can, as only you do, Lord. And we thank you that we pray that that work in our lives, Lord, for the purpose, Father God, of bringing glory to your name and to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the purposes of your kingdom would be done, Lord God, your will in heaven being done on earth, Father. We pray, Lord God, that we would all be people that are open and have listening hearts and spirits, Lord, to hear from your Holy Spirit in every aspect of our lives, Lord, and the purposes of your kingdom. We pray these things today in the mighty name of Jesus.